That. Please lift it up over your head, the Word of God. Amen. I love seeing it. All right, Miss Shirley, I'm so glad to see that was the Bible you had facing toward me and not solitaire. That was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I love that. And so please, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 8, and we will pick it up at verses 30 through 35. Brother, Pastor Devine, if you would please, if you could take this to the PowerPoint person in the back. My apologies. I got all wrapped up in worship today and forgot to give the slideshow person back there what I try to use and where I try to stay when I preach my messages. I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be multiplied in your lives. And we come this morning to worship and praise a risen Savior. Amen? We worship and we love an amazing, amazing, amazing God. Amen? We know that just off the top of our heads, our Lord is three things. He is infinite, first. He is the infinite God. He is infinite in all that He is. He loves infinitely. He is infinitely holy. Everything that God does, there is an infinitude that is attached to it. And when He gave us His Word is infinite in nature. Amen? And we love the Word of God. You know, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying to the Father for about us, He said, "Lord, I have given them Your Word." And so when you come to church with your Bibles, you are carrying the Word of God. Amen? You're not carrying a part of it. You're not carrying a piece of it. You are carrying the infinite Word of God. And that's how you can be blessed infinitely, just by reading a passage of Scripture. Not only is He infinite, but God is imminent. Have you ever felt like you're going or felt like you're doing it all alone? Well, Christians, you are not. Imminent means that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Whatever you are going through, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going through it with the Lord right there in your lives. You don't need to turn to look for Him. You don't need to search for Him. You don't need to wonder where He's at, because He is right there. The Lord is at all times with you. The Lord is not sitting up in heaven and looking out there and going, "Oh my goodness, Gabriel, how did Ronell get over there?" That's not what He's doing. He knows exactly where Ronell is and that Ronell serves Him with all of his heart. Amen? The Lord is infinite. The Lord is imminent. But more than that, our God is immense. There is no problem you have that our God cannot solve. Amen? He is immense. He is unextended. Do you know what that means? God doesn't have to reach for anything. For nothing. Whatever you need, the Lord can provide it instantaneously and on the spot. So if you go through your life realizing that your God is infinite, imminent, and immense, I believe that your day will go much better. Amen? Today we are continuing our study of living the life of significance. Today is part two or part B of the word or the title, consider. Consider is another word for decision. And everyone comes to church today with a decision point in their life. And when you leave here today, you will have made a decision. For those of you that do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be given the opportunity today, whether you are here in this sanctuary or you are watching on the internet, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. For those of you that already follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will make the decision today to, when you leave here, do I want to be cursed in my life or be blessed? Do I want to be a cursing to someone or do I want to be a blessing to someone? It is all wrapped up in our decisions that we make, our free will decisions. So if you are in the Word of God, Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 through 35, if you're there, please say amen. Reading from the Word of God. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of God, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark I want you guys to understand that the ark is a symbol of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. They stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger, as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Isn't it interesting that they read the word of the law? They read the word of God to everyone. Strangers means those that are not yet following the Lord. The men, the women, the little ones. Friends, sometimes people think, well, the children need to stay in children's church all the time so they can understand. That is straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. These young people can understand their Bibles. These young people understand the Word of God. All they need is an adult that cares about them enough and loves them enough to teach them the Word of God. And when I'm preaching on Sunday morning, the Sunday mornings that we have I'm going to have my handkerchief today, guys. I feel like preaching. If we are here on Sunday mornings and I'm preaching, I try to pick out people within the congregation, the young, the old, the in-between. That's the rest of us. Amen? The spiritually mature, the spiritually immature, and those in between. That's the rest of us. Amen? And when I preach, I try to look at the faces of people around the sanctuary. And if the mature Christian is getting it, and if the middle-of-the-road Christian is getting it, and the older Christian is getting it, but the children are not, it means the pastor is not preaching the Word of God. I need to preach it so that the children understand it as well. Amen? But yet the adults get blessed from the Word of God. You see, it's His Word. It's not my Word. We're not here to see what Pastor Larry has to say today. We are here to see what the Lord God of Israel has said this day. You know, as we've gone through the book of Joshua, and as we've gone and looked at the journey that Israel has been on, we have learned a lot of things. Amen? We have learned that He is a mighty God. And we have learned that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not ours. It rests upon the Lord. You see, it is in God's nature to pardon us from our sin when we ask. It is in God's nature to punish our sins when we do not ask forgiveness. It is in God's nature to bless us. And it is in God's nature to curse us. Listen, my friends. When God blesses you, you partake of the infinite nature of God in that blessing. So that blessing that comes to you may look small in nature, but it carries the infinite power of God behind it. So that you can take that blessing and say, what infinite part of God's plan am I to take this blessing in my life and use it for? Because I serve an infinite God. I know that He's right here with me. And I know He is a mighty God. And so it doesn't matter what the blessing is. It may be the tiniest of blessings. You found your keys this morning. Now for those of you that are less than 65 years old, that doesn't sound like a big deal. For the rest of us, it is. Amen? Yeah, I heard some amens out there. So we serve an infinite God. Amen, guys? And listen, for when it's God's nature to curse when it's needed, it's God's nature to bless when it is required. But God gives every man, every woman, every adult, every young person. He gives these children down here in the front. He gives our more mature Christians like Miss Lenora. He gives us all a free will choice. It is our decision on whether or not we will follow Him. God does not force His will upon anyone. Except when the time comes for where you spend all of eternity. Looking at today's scene, let me give you the historical, let me give you the geographical background of where the people of Israel are in this story. As the children of Israel are coming out of the east across the Jordan River, by Jericho, through Gilgal, in the city of Ai, as they're coming out of there, They go past those places, and then they came into a beautiful valley called Shechem. And I know I butchered that pronunciation, but it's S-H-E-C-H-E-M, Shechem. That valley runs from the west to the east. In other words, it's running from out of the wilderness and down into the Mediterranean Ocean. And the word Shechem means decision. Or it can also mean shoulder, and it can also mean both. And what does that mean? That when we have a free will decision to make, that we are to shoulder our decisions. You can't make a decision, friends, and then say, it was their fault. The Lord God has made it eminently clear that He wants you in heaven. The Lord God has made it eminently clear that it only happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, our decisions are on our shoulders. And everybody has a decision here today whether to follow Jesus Christ or not. If you want, all right, let's make this simple. Let's not get all theological, whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or watching on the internet. How many people want to go to heaven someday? Raise your hands. Amen. There we go. Everybody's hand is up. Jesus said, if you want to do that, you must be born again. John 3:3. You must be born again. And the only way that you can do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ as Lord. Why? Why is that? Well, Jesus said it Himself. I'm so glad you guys asked. I'm so glad that I see these two young men sitting over here, and they know exactly what's coming, because Pastor Larry has been saying this to them since they were that size right there. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as they come down this valley, on each side of this valley, heading from the east, I'm east of you guys, to the west, which is where the Mediterranean Ocean, on the north side, which side is north here, guys? Thank you so much. On the north side is Mount Ebal. Ebal means bear or stone. It's also used to refer to a stony heart, a heart of stone, Ebal. Young people, Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 35 as you're coming in. Ebal means bare stone or stony heart. In other words, this mountain was a bare, rocky area, almost impossible for anything to grow in. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He preached on the good soil, amen, what did He say about some of the seeds? Where do they fall? They fall on the stony ground. And they're easily taken away by the devil. But then on the south over here, is Mount Gerizim. You see, in Scripture, that bare stony mountain over on the north, Mount Ebal, is a mountain of cursing. On the south side, Mount Gerizim, which means cut off. The word cut off in Scripture is the same word as sanctified. How about that? It's the same word that was used when the Lord told the prophet Elijah, after He had declared unto Ahab and Jezebel what was coming, go you now to the brook at Kereth. That word Kereth means cut off. It's a place that Elijah was to go, where the Lord was to cut the things out of his life that were keeping him from serving the Lord. So that's what that word means. Mount Ebal means bare stone or stony heart. Mount Gerizim means cut off or the sanctified heart. And so I ask you today, friends, as you're sitting here in this church, as you're watching on the internet, as you're listening to an audio CD, where is your heart at? When it comes to the things of God, do you have a stony heart today? Or do you have a heart that is sanctified because you've received the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be used of God? You must live for that sanctified heart. Now, it doesn't mean we don't all wake up every now and then with that stony heart going on in our lives. Amen? Don't go all spiritual on me this morning, church. Biblically speaking, as they're in this valley, God has given these two mountains as a visual symbol. Cursings and blessings. Stony heart, sanctified heart. And as they're going down this valley, you see this terrible barren mountain. And over here on this other side, you see this mountain that's lush and things are growing. And it's a blessing. In essence, what God is doing is he's reminding us through His Scripture that we have a choice. We have a choice. And God makes it clear what the choice is. In essence, God is saying, I've set before you this day death or life. It is yours to choose. You can make the choice. You can live with a barren, stony heart, or you can live with the sanctified heart. In fact, the Lord wanted to reinforce this so much that He had Joshua divide the people in half. He has half of them going one side and half of them going the other. Look back at verse 33 in your Bibles. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, say amen. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount what? Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded them before. We're going to address that in just a moment, that they should bless the people of Israel. He's saying, I want half of you on Mount Ebal, the mountain of misery. I want half of you to stand before Mount Gerizim, the mountain of mercy. And he says, I'm going to be down in here in the valley with the ark, which is the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read the blessings and the cursings from the Word of God. And when I read these blessings and the cursings, as I read each one, whichever one I'm reading, the side that you are standing on, you will say, Amen. You see, the word Amen means, I agree with that. Amen? In other words, when we say that Jesus Christ is the King, it means Jesus Christ is the King. Amen? Amen. See, you all just agreed with what I said. When you say amen, you means I agree with what the pastor just said from the Word of God. Amen. I love it. Now, these mountains came down in terraces. They almost had like steps on them. They were then, and they still are today, one of the greatest natural wonders of the world because they set up almost like an amphitheater. You could speak and hear voices all over the valley of decision. You could hear the blessings. You could hear the cursings. All right, now here we're going to do something here real quick. Over here, let's see. Right down the center, Mom right here, and Miss, oh my goodness, look back there. Look at that. Everybody see who's in church today? Hallelujah, 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 Miss Anita. We're so glad you can make it today. All right, so I want you to be happy about being here. So from here over is the mountain of cursing. From them, this way is the mountain of blessing. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, everybody turn back to the previous book in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27. Remember it said, as Moses had read to them. Deuteronomy, chapter 27. And you guys are going to know exactly what to do when I get there. Amen? I'm going to begin in verse 11, but you will know what to do. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. And Moses commanded the people of the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim. Huh, how about that? To bless the people when you have crossed over to Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, those are the tribes of Israel. Those are the ones that are standing on the side of the mountain of blessing. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all of the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, a work of the hands of the craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say,
Amen.
That's just this side over here. We want just the mountain of the cursing right now. Are you there with me, cursings? Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say. Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say. Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road, and all of the people shall say. Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say. Amen. I think that's enough cursing in church. Let's look down at, excuse me. Let's look down at chapter 28. Are you ready, Mountain of Blessings? Amen. Now, it doesn't say the words amen there, but once again, you will know what to do. Amen? All right, here we go. Now, verse 1 in chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all of God's people said. Amen. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And all of God's people said. Amen. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. And all of God's people said. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. And God's people said, Amen. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And God's people said, Amen. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And God's people said, Amen. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you in one way and flee before you in seven ways. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now there were many, many, many more blessings and cursings. But what is God saying? If you follow me, if you make the decision for me, the battle is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. And if you want to be blessed, you allow me to lead the charge. This is not your battle. This is my battle. So young people, if you get bullied in school, the battle is the Lord's. When you go to go to school and people mock you for being Christians, young men, young women, the battle is the Lord's. When you go into the workplace and people whisper behind your back and mock you because of your Christianity, the battle is the Lord's. And all of God's people said, now, can you imagine what that must have been like back in Joshua chapter 8 with all of those tribes of Israel? 2.5 million people. 1.25 million on one side. 1.25 million on the other side. The priests and the Levites and Joshua down in the bottom reading from the Word of God. And the blessings sounding out as thunder. And the cursing sounding out as thunder. And the people of God rejoicing and saying, Amen. You see, it's okay to understand that there's cursings that God gives out, but you are children of the living God. And you can say Amen to the cursing. Why? Why can you do that? Because you know He is a righteous God. He is a just God. And that curse is not for you. You don't live here. You might be here for a little while, but your place is in heaven. And you're going to be in heaven someday rejoining those and the loved ones. And rejoining the people of God who have gone before you. There'll be a lot of surprised people, I think. You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't know how he's going to get there. Well, what about when you get there? Somebody goes, whoa, how'd you get here? Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So can you imagine, excuse me, this amazing visual demonstration that God gave that day. There he is with the altar representing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is reading the Word of God. And there he is saying, it is God's mercy and God's pardon, and it's in God's mercy to punish. He shows mercy in the pardon. He shows mercy in the punishment. It is in God's nature to pardon, and it's in God's nature to curse. They are not at odds with each other. But here's what makes the difference. It all depends on what you choose this day. In other words, it's what you say amen to in your decision of life. Listen, friends. He's saying here, you can be like the nation of Israel, or you can be like the city of A that we learned about last week. You see, everybody must come to a valley of decision. about following God's plan for salvation through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I'm getting to the points in just a moment. We'll move quickly through them. In other words, you have to shoulder that decision. It's your decision. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, it's not that I'm going to say no to Jesus Christ. I'm just not going to say anything. Well, let me tell you something. A no decision is a no decision. If you got that one, say amen. Amen. You see, you just decided against Christ, and that is such a terrible mistake. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, write that in your margin, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he says, "He that is not with me is against me." In other words, he's not putting up with any fence setters. Have you ever gone down to the Intercoastal? And if you go down to the Intercoastal, you watch that down, especially like at Port Everglades, when the cruise ships are coming in. Now, before the cruise ship comes in, you get all the little ski things out there, the little skidoos and all that. And these guys are running up and down the Intercoastal going wherever they want. All right? But when one of those big ships come in, they have to a decision to make. They can go to one side or the other, but they can't straddle the middle because that ship is coming. Amen? And that ship, when it comes, will absolutely destroy you. You must decide this day whom you will choose. A no decision is a decision against Jesus Christ. You cannot be neutral. But how about if I quickly give you three reasons for choosing the mountain of mercy? First is immediate joy. Write that down in your notes. Immediate joy. You see, friends, today you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have all of His joy. You can have all of the fullness of Christ in your life. I know so many people that have things. They have stuff. You ever notice that as we get stuff, we need a house to put our stuff in? And the more stuff we need, the bigger a house we need to put that stuff in. Have you ever noticed that when you go to some people's house and it's just full of stuff, you think it's junk? Because what happens is that their stuff for you is junk, but your junk is stuff. Amen? You ever notice that? And so what we have here, people, if you take joy in that stuff, what happens to it eventually? It goes away, amen? How many of you still have the stuff you started with when you first got married? All of your stuff? You're better than us. We have some of our stuff. Now, we have some of our stuff. We have one of our wedding gifts left. One. It's a bird. It's one of those little birds that sings. And then, eventually, we got a bedroom set. And that was good stuff. And we still have that. Well, no, we don't have that stuff anymore. We got rid of that. That first one we had for 25 years. And you used to be able to see it in our right-hand visitor's bedroom until my wife decided that my stuff was junk. And she needed to move some new stuff in there. So now there's a day bed in there. And then the next bedroom set that we got is in the left side. And we had that when we lived over at Club Lake Point. And then we moved in the house we're in now. We got a new bedroom set that fit that. But that's our stuff. Someday that stuff will be junk. It won't be junk just because it's junk on the earthly terms. It'll be junk because we're walking the streets of glory. We're walking the streets of gold. So ladies, you're looking around the sanctuary here, the gold chains that you have on your necks, the gold you have on the diamonds in your fingers. One day in heaven, you know what that is? Sidewalk. The diamonds on your ears is the walls. Our stuff here will become junk. Amen. Don't get wrapped up in all of that. But some people have furnishings, they have finery, they have clothes, they have cars. But without Jesus, they will never have true joy. Now listen, guys. I don't think you have to stop enjoying life if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I don't think there's anybody who enjoys life more than myself and Miss Ruth Ann do. Getting saved is not some kind of penalty that you have to pay to get to heaven. Nor is getting saved like having to take bad medicine in order to get well. Like, let me think of some old people stuff. Anybody ever heard of castor oil?
Yes.
How many people took that? Good, my goodness. I don't know if it's supposed to make me well, but it certainly shut me up. Because I didn't want to get any more of it. No, I feel much better. Thank you so much. All right, friends. Listen, guys. We simply need to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why should someone come into the valley of decision and say yes to Jesus Christ? Well, first, they can know immediate joy. Second, why was the other reason to receive Christ? Because of impending death. Impending death. Guys, the Bible says that we are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow on earth. You see, you don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. Hey, this may be the last sermon I ever preach. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I preach with my heart just laid out there. I believe that a preacher should preach like a dying man would preach to other dying men and women. That's how I believe. Each time I come to this pulpit, each time I come to this holy ground, to me this is holy ground where I deliver the Word of God. And as I prepare myself to come here, I remember God's words to Moses, "Take your shoes from upon thy feet." This is holy ground. And so before I come to this pulpit, I've prayed and I've asked forgiveness of my sins. I've asked our prayer team to lift me up in prayer because I want to come to this holy ground without my shoes, without my earthly things infecting what God has called me to preach here. And so I come here to this holy ground preaching as if this is the last message that I will ever preach. And friends, you know what? You ought to listen to this message like this is the last sermon that you will ever hear in your life. You should listen to it. God did not give me these words just for me. God gave me these words from His Word to transmit to you guys for the edification and the growing up of the body of believers. Amen? You ought to weigh your decisions. You should consider things as though this is the very last sermon you will ever hear. Christians, do you want to live a life of the stony heart or the life of the sanctified heart? I hear all the time, "Pastor Larry, I'll see you Wednesday." Well, maybe, maybe not. Our Wednesday night group has really been growing, and it's been a real blessing. This past Wednesday, we had a sparse crowd. And I was preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's all about why the pastor should get paid. Now, I can't imagine why anybody would want to miss that. And all God's people said, but we'll review this coming Wednesday night and move along. You see, we're not promised tomorrow. Do me a favor, all over the sanctuary, take these two fingers of your right hand, put them on your pulse. Sit there calmly. Not your thumb, your fingers. Do you feel that pulse? That pulse, right this moment, is the only thing separating you from an eternity in heaven or eternity separated from God. And all God's people said,
amen.
Receive Jesus Christ before that pulse stops. Receive Jesus Christ before that pulse stops. Now friends, not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be all fire and brimstone here this morning. You guys know me. That's not Pastor Larry. But that little heartbeat is all that's separating you right now. So we see the immediate joy of receiving Christ. We see the impending death of receiving Christ. But oh, glory, hallelujah, we now see the imminent return of Christ. That's why we should decide. You know, the best part of being in heaven is not going to be the streets of gold. It's not going to be the walls of diamonds. It's not going to be the eternal life that we have. It's not going to be that there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. That's not going to be the best part of heaven. The best part of heaven is Jesus is there. And we get to hang out with Jesus. We get to be before the throne and God the Father. How awesome is that? If you can't get all rambunctious and riled up like that, then you guys just aren't even Baptists, all right? Just kidding, guys. I'm talking about the imminent return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could come back any moment. He could come back right this second. If not this second, surely as soon as we're walking to the parking lot. If not then, before we get home. If not then, maybe tomorrow or next week. Here's what I know. Everybody's been trying to figure out when He's coming back. Here's what we need to focus on. Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
And when He comes, He's coming in glory. And He's coming with His people. to rule. You know what? I may not get to finish this sermon, but one day the trumpet will sound. One of these days Jesus Christ will come, and I'm asking today, are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come today? If Jesus Christ were to come right now, where are you standing in your decisions? Internet, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, all over the world, we know we have people out in the Indian Ocean listening right now, is that where are you in your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this is not just little Living Hope Baptist Church of Coral Springs, Florida. This is the worldwide ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ that goes out to all the world. So are you ready? And are you ready to live based upon your decision? Are you standing on Mount Ebal over there? Sorry, this side of the church. Or are you standing on Mount Gerizim? Because based on the perfect Word of God, I am telling you that Jesus Christ is coming. It's no fairy tale. Just as certain as He came the first time, He will come the second time. Amen? The when is sealed, and it's a sealed mystery known only to God the Father. But one day, you may be struggling right now in your heart with some stuff going on in your life. You may be going through a tough time. But I want you to know that one day, God's going to look down. He's going to say, Jesus, go get my children. Go get Miss Latima. Go get Miss Judith. Go get Brother Rennell. While you're at it, get that crazy preacher up on that stand. Bring him home too. Go get them all. Go get my children. You see, when the trump sounds, friends, that's where I want to be standing. Amen? Did you know that not one single prophecy is left to be filled for Christ to come back? Not one. There is nothing stopping him except God is patient and it's God's will that none be lost. Amen? Now, some of you have heard the gospel many times. You've been pressured. You've been conned. You've been talked to. You've been yelled at. You even had some preachers tell religious lies to you. All kinds of nonsense. You've done church and you don't trust us. Some churches are all about getting you in the door and getting your money. Other churches are all about getting you in the door and getting you to work for them. You see, you've done church and you don't trust us. And right now you're wondering, what is this preacher's angle? What's his deal? What is Pastor Larry trying to con me into? Maybe it's gotten so bad that you just don't know. You can't seem to trust. Well, here's the truth. And no con job. God loves you. God loves you so much that He stretched out His hands upon the cross and He said, I love you, I love you, I love you this much. And He was nailed to the cross for our sins. I came across an interesting passage this week. If you follow me on Facebook, you may have seen it. That it's in the book of Matthew, as the disciples and Jesus were leaving the upper room where they had the Lord's Supper and heading out to the Mount of Olives where He would be crucified, it says that they sang hymns and then left. That means that my Savior, my Jesus, before He went to the cross to be nailed there for my sins that He never committed, for the joy set before Him, sang. There was a song in His heart. Now how can you have a Jesus like that, friends? How can you have a Jesus like that, knowing He has a song in His heart for you this very day? God loves you and God wants to save you. And the Lord wants to do it today, this very day. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now, sitting here in the sanctuary. He's knocking on the door of your heart around the world. But if you keep resisting, if you keep putting it off and saying, one day soon I'll receive Jesus Christ, I promise you with all of my heart, based upon the Word of God, one day will come His last knock. One day He'll call you one final time, and then He won't call you anymore. What is the nature of God? Because so many people get this wrong. He wants to pardon your sin. But He must punish your sin because you're making eternal decisions. You know, The nature of God is to put man in the valley and let him choose the blessings or the cursing. Listen, I've preached the best I know how. And if I could make the choice for you, I would. As Apostle Paul said, he would go through the fires of hell to save one other person. I can't make that decision for you. But I want you to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that if you will come to Jesus Christ, that He is faithful and He is true. Amen? And God will save you for all of eternity. It's because it's so simple. Pastor Larry, how do you know that? Pastor Larry, how do you know God will save me? You don't know what I've done. It's so simple, and I'm so glad you've asked. It's because Jesus Christ saved me. Now, if Christ can save someone like me, trust me, your salvation is no problem. And all God's people said, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.